If you have a Bible, you can open it to Matthew chapter 22. And we're going to just be continuing where we left off. And today we'll be doing verses 15 to 22. All right, I gave you a handout, and you're going to need to use that handout today just for taking notes purposes. If you're online, you'll have to print it. Hopefully you did that already. And if you look at the handout, it's really just different sections with room for notes. That's all it is. And today's going to be a discussion. I'm just going to be asking some questions today. And we're gonna talk. And so we're gonna begin with that. It says intro. And the intro is just gonna consist of a review. And so I'm just gonna ask you this. What's been going on where we are right now in the story? What's been happening? I wanna set this in its context.
Well, the Jewish leaders are feeling that they are being pressured by Jesus, being pressured by, like Jesus is speaking to them in a very negative way.
Okay.
Jesus was talking about this wedding feast where that the chosen people rejected the
yes.
invitation.
Yes.
And then the invitation is open to everybody to the wedding feast. The
okay.
invitation was
That's
for
right.
the Jews.
That's right.
Only, but then open for all people.
Okay. Okay. What else? Where is Jesus?
I think he's in the temple. Is that right?
Okay. In the temple? And if he's not in the temple, more broadly, where is he? What city is he in?
Jerusalem.
He's in Jerusalem. And so, and mostly he has been teaching in the temple. That's where he's apparently spending most of his time during this week that he's there. Why has he come? What's getting ready to happen in Jerusalem?
Pentecost?
Not Pentecost. But the Passover. The Passover is getting ready to happen. And Jesus isn't the only Jew that's making his way to Jerusalem. Jerusalem has swollen with a great population of people who have come into town for the Passover. And so there are all kinds of Jews from all over the place that are in town for this festival. And so he taught the parable of the wedding feasts. He's been teaching other parables as well. He gave them the parable of the tenants, you know, the man who had a vineyard, and he leased the vineyard to tenants, but they didn't pay him, and he sent the servants and they killed the servants, and he sent his son and they killed the son, and then he came and he was going to destroy those tenants and replace them and give the vineyard to others. He told the parable of the two sons, and one son, the father says to the one son, "Son, go out into the vineyard and work today." And he says, "I will not go." But he changed his mind, and he went. And then he went to the second son, "Son, go into the vineyard." And he says, "I'll go." But he never went. And which of the two sons did the will of his father? And they said, the one who went. And he said, therefore the kingdom of God will be taken from you. You did not believe. John the Baptist, the tax collectors and prostitutes will enter the kingdom before you. For they heard the preaching of John and they repented, but you did not. So all of these parables are targeting who? Who's Jesus really addressing in the parables? We've already talked about it.
In verse 45, it says that when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived he was speaking about them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jesus is talking about the Jewish leaders.
Yeah.
So then, describe for me the relationship between Jesus and the Jewish leaders.
The Jewish leaders are maybe they're becoming afraid of the following that he's getting.
Okay.
That Jesus is getting.
Yeah. That is true. What else?
They are not in good terms.
They're not in good terms at all. The relationship is pretty tense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Between Jesus and the Jewish leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is a threat.
Mm-hmm.
To the Jewish leaders.
Yeah.
Lots of people are following Jesus, and if they follow Jesus, that means they're not following the Jewish leaders.
Yeah.
The Jewish leaders don't like that.
Right.
I mean, think of someone who has power, and here comes some upstart who's starting to get a crowd and a lot big following, and the person who has power may start to feel threatened by the person who's drawing a crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, you see it happen all over the globe all the time. And it's getting confrontational.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Jewish leaders have come and confronted him up front in the temple and said to him directly in front of everybody, by whose authority do you do these things? That's a confrontation. A public one. And Jesus avoided it and yet answered their question by saying, I'll ask you a question. You give me the answer, I'll give you my answer. John's baptism, was it from heaven or was it from men? And so Jesus is coming back at him, and then he tells these parables, which he doesn't come out and say to the Jewish leaders, you guys are, you know, evil. And yet he does. Because he tells stories that are about them. Okay, this is what's going on, and I want us to keep this in our minds as we look at this story today. So, now let's look at your handout, the question. Because we're going to have, the Jewish leaders are going to ask a question. And so, verses 15 to 17, somebody read those verses for me. Matthew 22, verses 15 to 17.
I can read it.
Okay, go ahead, Handy.
Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his words. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?
Okay. What I want to do is I'm going to give you a few minutes, and I want you to write down some observations from verses 15 through 17. Just that section. Just the question part. Just write down what you see. All right, so my first question for you is this. What is their question? What do they ask Jesus?
They're not asking spiritual question at all. It's just, is it lawful to pay tax to Caesar?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's their question.
Yeah.
Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we do it or not? Okay. Now, I want you to give me some observations about that question. Things that you saw. Just the, you wrote some several things down. Just give me something you wrote down.
Before the question was asked, the motivation was the Pharisees wants to make Jesus in trouble.
Okay.
That's the main motivation.
Yes. It says they want to entangle him in his words. This is a trap. This question is a trap. And so that's what they're doing. What else? Observations. We'll talk about how it's a trap in a bit. Other observations. What's something you wrote down? Leanne, what's something you wrote down?
One thing I wrote that you might have just said is that it's like they pretend that they really think Jesus is a good guy.
Okay.
You know, they're like, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully.
Yeah. Verse 16 is just all phony, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Praising him.
Yeah, they're praising him.
Yeah.
But in reality, they're trying to trap him. They're wanting to get rid of him. And so they're praising him in order to get rid of him.
Yeah.
It's just phony.
Yeah.
Okay. What else? Manny, what's something you wrote down? Just an observation here.
Just that he quickly turned around and called them the hypocrites, you know, because they're trying to corner him.
Okay. Yeah, he we're going to see that. He's going to do that with them here in his answer to them. And so... who is it that's coming?
Yeah, not the Pharisee themselves. It's their disciples.
Okay, the disciples of the Pharisees.
Yes.
And who else?
The Herodians.
The Herodians.
I'm not sure who they are.
Okay, so you've heard of King Herod, right?
Uh-huh.
So what I want you to think of is think of a nation that rules a land that then puts over the local people a local ruler in order to sort of give the appearance of local control. The Romans ruled the land. King Herod was a Jew. And so you have this provincial leadership that's local. They're Jews, but they're Jews that are handpicked by Rome because they're loyal to Rome. Because Rome doesn't want to put somebody in power that will not be loyal to Rome.
Sure.
I mean, Maggie, China does this all the time. Think of Hong Kong. Think of Xinjiang province. They do the same thing. And so you've got the central government that really is controlling everything, but they have local rulers comprised of local people who are loyal to the central government. That's the Herodians. King Herod was the king of a region there of Judea, and he was Jewish, but he's loyal to Rome. And so this is important that they're bringing Herodians, because the Herodians are loyal to Rome. And they're asking Jesus a question about paying taxes to Rome. That's their question. And so what they've got now is, just think of the scene that they've done. What they've arranged is this public confrontation with a whole bunch of Herodians, you know, people loyal to Rome, who are standing there, who are going to witness Jesus' answer. Now, how is this a trap? They're trying to trap him. Okay, yeah, if he answers, Jesus can answer one of two ways, right? Yes or no. Yes, pay taxes, or no, don't pay taxes. If he says yes, pay taxes to Caesar, what happens?
I think that he says that he's below Caesar then, not below God. His obedience would be to Caesar and to the government.
What happens with all the Jews who are following him, who hate Rome, and who are overtaxed? Rome was overtaxing the people. It was almost like theft.
So,
the taxes were like theft.
Yeah.
It was so, they were so many taxes.
Yeah, so we already have that key words. You said the Jews hate the Rome and they are overtaxed. If Jesus, you know, also basically saying just yes without really explaining anything, like, oh, you're another Herodians, you know, you're just one of them, you know.
Okay.
They will not like that.
That's right. He loses the people.
Yeah.
If Jesus says yes, pay taxes to Rome, he loses the following of all of these people that are following him and are thinking he's Messiah, and they're just fine with that. The Pharisees would love for all of the people to run away from Jesus. If he says no, don't pay taxes to Rome, what happens?
And you'll get in trouble with Rome because they're under their rule.
That's right, they're going to arrest him. And then what happens is the King Herod is going to do their job for them. King Herod will basically take Jesus and he'll either put him in prison or maybe execute him. One or the other. And so Jesus is put on the spot here. This is actually a pretty serious... How he answers is pretty crucial. We read it today and we don't have all of the what's going on here. But you drop yourself into the middle of what's going on and this is pretty tense. They've set this up intentionally to trap him.
Yeah.
He can't win no matter what he says. And so this is their question. Now we've already said this is really not an honest question. There are other motives here behind the question. They're not asking this question because they really want to know the answer. Have you ever seen that? I mean, in the real world here today? People who just ask questions because they want to stump you? Can you think of any examples? If you can, share an example, briefly. Oh yeah, totally. That's how politics works. Politics is not really full of honest questions, is it?
Yeah, nor answers. Sometimes
it That's
yeah.
correct. That's right. You know, I've shared with you. We've gone into the mosques and had discussions with Muslims in the mosques, and I can tell you, especially when we went to this Ahmadiyya Mosque here in Round Rock, just about every question they asked was not, they really didn't want to know the answer to. All they wanted to do was stump you and show how foolish Christianity was. That was the purpose of their question. And it was pretty easy to see. And Anyway, this happens. You've seen this kind of thing. Not all questions are equal. I mean, you hear people say sometimes, no question is a bad question. And that's half true. Because there are such things as bad questions. Not necessarily because the content of the question is bad, but because of the motive for asking the question is wrong. And so God has no problems with honest questions. He really doesn't. If you've got questions for God, ask them. He's got no problems with that. But God will judge dishonest questions. Because dishonest questions are not real questions. They're questions, they're disguised as questions. But it's something else. It's false motives disguised as questions. And so dishonest questions are just tools for evil. That's what's going on here. And we see this in our world today, this kind of thing in the world today. Okay, let's talk about Jesus' answer now. So somebody read verses 18 to 22.
But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away.
Okay, what I'm going to do now is the same thing I did with the question. I'm going to give you a few minutes just to write down some observations about Jesus' answer. So look now at verses 18 to 22 and just start, what do you see? Just start writing down things you see in those verses. Then we'll come back and talk about it in a minute. Okay. So in the answer, just give me some observations that you wrote down.
Jesus is aware of their bad intention.
Okay, Jesus is aware of their motives. That's right. What else?
He does answer their questions.
Okay, he answers their question. What else? Okay, yeah, he says, "Show me a coin." So they get one and bring it to him. Okay, what else?
Well, he says, "Since the coin has the likeness of the inscription of Caesar, so it belongs to Caesar."
That's right. Whose picture is on this coin? Well, Caesar's. Okay. Okay.
Think about the coin as much as what it can bring you, but like God will bring you.
Yeah. So Jesus gives them an answer, and how does he answer their question? The question is, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? Teacher, what do you think? And what's his answer?
Part of his answer is kind of a fair answer, I think, because he says, well, Caesar's inscription is on here, so these things, give this to Caesar. It's just kind of a practical thing.
Okay.
I think he answers, you know, brilliantly. I mean, like, yes, he acknowledged the Roman rule.
Yes.
He doesn't say bad things with Caesar.
Right.
He said, like, well, you're under Roman rule, and then the coin is has Caesar's picture in it, so give what, yes, yeah, give the, you know, give it to him.
Yeah.
You know, since you're under Roman rule. But he doesn't end there.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, the brilliant thing, he doesn't end there. And he continued with, give what belongs to God. Give the things that, but give the things to God. What be, what is it?
Render to God the things that are God's.
Render to God the things that are God's. You know.
Yes.
That's the brilliant thing.
Okay. Why does Jesus answer this way? Okay, he doesn't lose the crowds.
He's making a spiritual point here.
He is making a spiritual point. Jesus is going beyond taxes here.
Yeah.
He is talking about taxes. I think, Manny, you said that earlier. He's going beyond taxes. So, the Herodians who were there, when they hear Jesus' answer, what do they hear?
They're marveled.
They're marveled?
Yeah.
Okay. They marveled at his answer because they knew what the trap was.
Yeah.
Do they hear Jesus going against Rome?
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. They don't hear Jesus going. The Herodians hear Jesus saying, okay, yeah, pay your taxes.
Yeah.
If you're the people, what do the people hear?
Give God what is God's.
Okay, yeah, give God what is God's. And they may acknowledge that, yeah, he's giving Caesar his due, because he says that, basically.
Yeah.
And yet, there's more to it than that. And so they hear him not just bowing to Caesar. And so you have different groups of people who are in the audience, and they're hearing different things. Okay, render to Caesar. What does that mean in this context?
What belongs to him?
Give to Caesar what belongs to him. And so specifically in this context, what is that referring to?
Tax.
Taxes.
Yeah, tax.
Money.
Yeah, money.
Money.
Money and taxes. So let me ask this question, since it comes up here. What should our relationship with the government be? As Christians, we're Christians, right? As Christians, we have a king, and our king is not Joe Biden or in your country, whoever it is. He's not our ultimate king, and so if we follow this king, Jesus, what is our relationship with our local government, our current government? Here in America, in Austin, in, you know, Texas, because we have different levels, obviously. But what is our relationship with the government?
Always follow the rules, since not as citizens, Christian principles.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Follow the rules the government set, as long as it doesn't clash with Christian biblical principles.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that Jesus is basically telling them, give to Caesar the taxes. And so, as Christians, the government, Christians are not rebels.
Right.
We don't exist just to rebel against the government. And Christianity is not a political thing. I don't mean it doesn't have political consequences. It does, because sometimes politics enters into the area of morality. And when politics enters into morality, Christianity is going to inform our politics. But nonetheless, we're not here to overthrow the government. That isn't our purpose. We belong to a different kingdom. And so we're to be good citizens as much as is within our power. Now, obviously, governments don't always have laws that a Christian could follow, because there are some times where governments create laws that actually violate Christianity. That happens, and it happens in all kinds of countries. And when that happens, you know, as Christians, we have to deal with that. But when we deal with that, we're not trying to be rebels. We're actually trying to be submissive to our king. It's just that our king says something different from what our lower king says. And so, you know, the scriptures are not anti-government. We're not, as Christians, opposed to governments. They're actually necessary. Governments, you need a government. It doesn't mean that we support everything that governments do, but we're not opposed to government. And we're to pray for the people that are over us, Scripture says. And so in most things, we really should just follow what the government tells us to do, unless, as Maggie said, it violates something that Scripture says. That's how you discern when to obey and not obey. But for most things, you're going to obey. And that'll be true even in oppressive governments. You know, if you're in a very tyrannical communist government, that most of the laws there still are laws that a Christian could follow. You know, stop at the red light, stop at the stop sign, don't speed, you know, don't murder, don't steal. They have those laws in those countries. Yep. Even the oppressive countries have those laws. And you as a Christian want to respect that, but of course they also have other laws sometimes, like you can't meet as a church. If you're a Christian, you have to violate that. You have to meet as a church. That's not even negotiable. Or they may have laws against the Bible. You know, owning a Bible is illegal. If you're a Christian, you're going to violate that if you're able to. And so, but you're not trying to be a rebel when you do so. Okay, what does then render to God mean? Jesus says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. What does that mean? Render to God.
It's like having dual citizenship.
Okay.
You know, like live here, and like what the rules are set up here.
Yeah.
More of the obligated to follow your spiritual beliefs and keep those beliefs as well, so you can be answered.
Okay. Sure. Okay. That's actually a good picture. That's great. Render to God the things that are God's. What are the things that are God's?
I heard an old deceased preacher was talking about, you know, because he Because Jesus asked this coin, right, and asked them, what is the picture of in the coin? It's Caesar's. So, what is the likeness in this coin? It's Caesar's. So, what is the likeness of God?
Okay.
And the preacher was saying, so, what is the question also could be, like, because Jesus answered, you render to God what belongs to God. So what is the likeness of God? Kind of like he says, throwing that question.
Yeah.
And it's like we are being made in the likeness of God.
Mm-hmm.
We are made in God's image, the image of God.
Okay.
And I just want.
So then, what should you give God?
Ourself.
Yeah, yourself,
yeah.
You.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's kind of the idea, you know, what belongs to God, give it to him. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is that belongs to him. Well, you belong to God.
Mm-hmm.
So give him yourself. Give him your heart.
Give him the things that you do.
Yeah, give him what you do. Let me ask, do you think that this part of Jesus' answer is a critique of the Pharisees? See, I almost imagine him here taking that coin and saying, whose inscription is on it? Caesar's. And he's probably, and then, this isn't in the scripture, I'm just sort of visualizing the scene. And when he answers, he looks at the Herodians and he says, then give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And then he turns and looks at the Pharisees, their disciples, and says, but give to God the things that are God's. And see, one of his criticisms of the Jewish leaders all throughout the parables we've been going through is that they are not following God. In other words, the Jewish leaders are not giving to God the things that are God's. And this is almost another critique of them. While he's giving his answer and avoiding the question, you know, avoiding the difficulty that they are, the trap that they've set for him at the same time. Because they don't give him their heart. See, if God gets your heart, then what does he get? What else does he get? If he gets your heart, what else does he get?
All of you, everything that you...
Yeah, everything.
...do, everything that you think you can submit to God and start from the heart.
See, remember, their question is not honest. They're coming with a bad heart. And Jesus is, and they're on the surface, this is just about money on the surface.
Yeah.
But at a deeper level, they're trying to do something more than money. They really don't care about his answer about money.
Mm.
And Jesus knows it. He knows what's in their heart. And so Jesus, they want to talk about money, but Jesus addresses their heart in his answer. Okay, here's what I want to do for application on that sheet that you've got. I want you to think of something you need to render to God. You know, Jesus said, render to God the things that are God's. Okay, in your life, what does that look like? What is something you need to render to God? I'm going to give you just a minute or two to write something down there, and then we'll come back. Okay. Anybody want to share something you wrote? What's something you need to give to God? You don't have to share if you don't want, but if someone would like to, feel free.
For marriage, because there's a lot of unknown, you know, with this. You know, I'm here and my fiance is in, you know, another country, so a lot of unknowns, you know, all those things. So just need to give that to the Lord.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, just need to be, you know, because there's just a lot of stuff.
Okay.
To do.
So for me, I've got down, so my desire to be right.
That's what I put down.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, we're in trouble as a couple when we both have the same problem. And so, and just, I don't handle real well when people, I guess, falsely accuse me of things, or at least if I perceive it as falsely accusing me of things. And yet, I'm following a Lord who was falsely accused.
Good point.
And who, if I'm to follow him, when he was falsely accused, he, you know, he forgives. And that's something, anyway, that's, for me, something God needs to work on me on. I don't handle that well.